Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin daf Chaf Beis. At least once during every tenure of saying Shira, I have the opportunity to say, Kenny, it's just me and you. Kenny, it's just me and you this morning, and all those listening on the internet. So today's Shira is, first of all, sponsored anonymously, B'schus HaRefuah Shelema for Rivka Rus Bas Freida, who's having an operation today. We thank the anonymous sponsor very much for the sponsorship. And we hope that Rivka Rus Bas Freida has a refuah shalema, along with all of the other Chole Yisrael. So today we are going to continue the discussion that we were in the middle of yesterday regarding the process for Malika of the Ola Sa'ov and the Chata Sa'ov. Just to refresh where we were yesterday, there were two birds that are brought in lieu of a chatas behema, and that's part of the carbon called the carbon olav yored. If you're not as wealthy as somebody who can afford a behema, then what you do is you bring two birds. One of them is a chatas, one of them is an ola. The procedure for the chatas and the ola are different. Whereas by the chatas, the pasuk tells us specifically lo yavdil, that you're not supposed to separate the head from the rest of the body of the bird. And therefore, when you do the malika, you only sever one of the simanim, or rove of one of the simanim. By the ola ta'ov, not so, because the pasuk says ve'ekrivo, and that serves as a demarcation, as a dividing line, or a differentiation is probably the best word, between the chatas ha'of and the olas ha'of. And the word vikribo teaches us, unlike the chatas ha'of, which is not separated, the olas ha'of is separated. What does it mean that it's separated? It doesn't mean that we saw yesterday that it's totally decapitated. What it means is you leave the head hanging by skin, but what you do is you do sever both simanim. And we had seen a bunch of limudim yesterday, very, very technical, how exactly each of the shitas in the Gemara learn this from the psukim, whether initially the ola sa'of was compared to the chata sa'of, or whether the ola sa'of was initially compared to the chata's behema. We saw that yesterday. We're not going to retread all of that material, but the Gemara begins, and we're on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. We are 2, 4, 6 lines down. First word on the line is Vatana Kama, so the Gemara is going to pick up with that machlokas. We're going to get to the Mishnah. Until the Mishnah, we're going to still talk about the concept of Malika, and then this discussion is over, and then we get to the next in a series of Mishnayos. We're going to see one of them today, which are going to follow the pattern of the Mishnayos that we had been discussing recently. So as you'll recall, we had said that first we had been saying that what's kosher by Shechita is puzzled by Malika. What's kosher by Malika is puzzled by Shechita. Now we're talking about And that launched us into a discussion of a lengthy discussion on Malika, the process for Malika, Chatasov, Olasov, all the good stuff we've been discussing over the past few days. This Mishnah is going to tell us about the two types of birds that were eligible to be brought as bird karbanos. There are two types of bird. One of them is a tar, a turtle dove. One of them is a benyona, or a pigeon. And we'll see that the tar has to be big, the benyona has to be small. What's kosher as a tar is pasul as a benyona. What's kosher as a benyona is pasul as a tar. So this has nothing to do with Malika. It really has nothing to do with Hilcha Shechita at all. What it does have to do with is that it follows the pattern of the previous Mishnah. So we'll talk a little bit about the two types of birds that are able to be brought as karbanos, and that'll take us, God willing, through the end of Chaf Beis Amud Beis. So again, we will pick up Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. It is six lines down. The first word on the line is Vitanakama. So says the Gemara, Vitanakama v'chimei afker denafkalan mimolak v'hiftir. Since the Tanakama is doresh the words molak v'hiktir, and by molak v'hiktir, it says that just like the Akhtara, remember the drasha yesterday, just like the Akhtara, is the body is separate and the head is separate from the body, because when they're muktar on the mizbeach, when they're brought on the mizbeach, the head is separated from the body. So too, by the malika, the head is separated from the body. So if you're going to tell me, if you're going to learn that drasha of a malek v'hikdir, that the head has to be separated from the body by malik, and again, that means not literally separated, but that means that you have to sever both simanim, v'krivu lamali, why do I need the pasuk to tell me v'krivu? Why do I need the pasuk to tell me that the procedure by the ola sa'of is different than the procedure by chata sa'of? I already know that the procedure has to be different because the pasuk tells me malak v'hiktir, which teaches me that I have to separate the head from the body. So I don't need the word v'krivo on the pasuk to tell me that. So says the Gemara, and I still need the word v'krivo. Why? Ila v'krivo, were not for the word v'krivo, hava mina my kamishpat. What do we mean when we say kamishpat? It's kamishpat chata sa'of. It's like the procedure by chata sa'of. And I might think, therefore, without the word v'krivu, that taka by the ola sof, I have to do exactly what I do by the chata sof, meaning that I sever only one simen. V'mishum amalak v'hikdir, how could I think that I sever only one simen? The pasuk also tells me amalak v'hikdir, which we just said means that just like the aktara, the head is separated from the body, so too by the malika, the head's got to be separated from the body. So if it was only because it says amalak v'hikdir, havamina, I would have thought as follows. Ma haktara barosho shel mizbeach, af malika barosho shel mizbeach. It's not telling me that the head has to be separated from the body in terms of the chicken anatomically when it's on the mizbeach. What it means is it's teaching me where the malika and where the aktara are done. Just like the aktara obviously is on top of the mizbeach, because that's where things are burned on the mizbeach. So too, when the malika is done, the malika has to be done on top of the malika has to be done on the top of the mizbeach. Sahashta dechsev rachmana v'ikrivo, but now that the pasuk says v'ikrivo drushpe namiha, so it's very interesting. So now that the pasuk says v'ikrivo, which shows that I must differentiate between the chatasof and the olasof, I know to learn two things from the pasuk, that when the pasuk says umolak v'ikdir, it teaches me two halachas. Halacha number one is itaka teaches me that the malika's got to be barosh ha-mizbeach. Halacha number two is it teaches me that the head is totally separate from the body. And Rashi points out over here, it's about halfway down on the page, Hashdech Sivik Rivu Al Karchach Akri Mine Techiluk Lagamri Mashmale Latanakama Dlo Tigmar Mine Klal V'yukmes Achatas Behema. In other words, what the word Vikrivo teaches me is that the Chatas Of is nothing like the Olas, or the Olas Of is nothing like the Chatas Of, and therefore I have to compare it to the Chatas Behema. Ome Hashda Darash Mimalak Victor Dilagamri Iskish Akhtara Lamalika. And now, from the word umalak v'ikdir, I could learn that entirely the malika is compared to the aktara, bein linyan rosh hashem mizbeach, bein linyan arosh ba'atzmo v'aguf ba'atzmo. So as we said, as we explained outside, what the Gemara is now concluding is because the pasuk says v'ikrivo, which tells me that I cannot learn any of the halachas of olasov from chatasov. Therefore, when the pasuk tells us umalak v'ikdir, it teaches me two halachas. Number one, it teaches me it's got to be barosh ha-mizbeach. Number two, it teaches me that the head has to be separated from the body. Okay, so that basically concludes this discussion. Now, you'll recall when we started the discussion, we were trying to figure out whether the olas of is compared to the chatas of, or whether the olas of is compared to the chatas behema. And we mentioned three things specifically three halachas regarding which the olas ha'of is similar to the chatas behema. Three halachas that we can learn from chatas behema. So the Gemara is now going to ask how we know that those three halachas actually apply to the chatas behema. So halacha number one was chatas behema de'ina ba ela min achulin. One was that the chatas behema can only come from private funds. So how do we know that it can only come from private funds? Minolan, Somer of Chista, Diamar Kra, because the pasuk says, Vikriv Aaron es parachatos asher lo. It says that Aaron brings the parachatos, which is his. What does it mean, asher lo? It means mishelo velo mishel tzibur. It means, first of all, that it's got to be from his own private funds and not from the Trumas HaLishka. It can't come from the fund that's designated to purchase Karbonas Tzibur. Below Mishel Meiser, nor can it come from Meiser, because it says Asher Lo twice in the Pasuk. And therefore, the first time it says Asher Lo, it comes to exclude public funds. The second time it says Asher Lo, it comes to exclude private funds, which are Meiser. Rashi points out that we know that there's a Shas Machlokas as to whether Meiser is Mamon Gavoa or Meiser is Mamon Hedyot. And Rashi over here points out that even if you want to hold like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that Meiser is Mamon Hedyot, that Meiser is considered to be, in a sense, private funds. He says it's still excluded from this pasuk. Why? Because Asher Lo means Mamish Asher Lo. It means literally Asher Lo. And even though technically Meiser is considered to be your own, it's obviously a different category than real personal funds. So the two references in the pasuk to Asher Lo, one of them teaches me that it can't come from the Tzibur funds. The other teaches me that it can't come from Meiser. Now the second halacha that we learned from Chatas Behema that we wanted to apply to Olas Ha'Of was that it could only be shechted during the day. So says the Gemara Biyom. The fact that a carbon can only be shechted during the day, that we don't need a limud from Chatas Behema, mi biyom tzavaso nafka. That we learn from the pasuk of biyom tzavaso. So we don't need this limud from Chatas Behema, because biyom tzavaso teaches me a general halacha that's applicable to all karbanos, that all karbanos have to be brought during the day. So I don't need a specific limud from Chatas Behema. Says the Gemara, you're right, Kedi Nosva, you're right that really we don't need to learn this halacha from Chatas Behema, but the word Bayom is also mentioned Lagabe Chatas Behema, so we just threw it in there. But you're right, we don't need Chatas Behema to teach me that the Olas Ha'Of has to be brought during the day. We know that the Olas Ha'Of has to be brought during the day because it's a karban, and all karbanos have to be brought during the day. Now, says the Gemara Yadu Ayamanis, the third halacha that we wanted to apply from Chatas Behema to Olas Ha'Of was that the avoda by the Chatas Behema had to be done with the Kohen's right hand. And said the Gemara, we don't need Chatas Behema to teach me that. So Yadu Ayamanis mita Rabba Barbachana Nafka. We learned that from the statement of Rabba Barbachana. Diyama Rabba Barbachana, Amar Rav Shimon Melakesh, because Rabba Barbachana says in the name of Rish Lakesh, Kol Mokam Shenemar Etzba O Kahuna, anytime it says the word Etzba or the word Kahuna in the Pasuk, Eina Ela Yamin. It means that the Avoda has to be done with the right hand, and by Olas Ha'Of, it says the word Kahuna. And therefore, even without a limud from Chatas Behema, I would know that Olas Ha'Of has to be done, the avoda of the Olas Ha'Of has to be done with the right hand, because by the avoda of the Olas Ha'Of itself, it says the word Kahuna. Says the Gemara, V'idach, Kahuna boy etzpa, etzpa lo boy kahuna. No, I still need a limud from Chatas Behema. Why? Because there is a machlokas whether either the word etzpa or the word kahuna connotes that it must be done with a kohen's right hand. Or another Mandi Amar says, no, the only word that is ma'akev to mean, the only word that always means that it's done with the right hand is etzpa. And it is possible that kahuna teaches me that it has to be done with the right hand, but when? Only when the word kahuna is mentioned in conjunction with the word etzpa. The word kahuna alone without the word etzpa doesn't teach me anything. So by the Olas Ha'Of, it only says the word kahuna, but it doesn't say the word etzpa. So without the limud from Chatas Behema, I wouldn't know that I have to do the avoda of Olas Ha'Of with my right hand. So says the Gemara now, the Tanakama of Rebbe Elazar b'Reb Shimon, but the Tanakama and Rebbe Elazar b'Reb Shimon, Mimula Oref Minolahu. How do they know that the Malika of an Olas Ha'Of is done Mimul Arpo? How do we know that the Malika by the Olas Ha'Of is done from the back of the neck? And Rashi explains over here that Rabbi Yishmael darshans Kamishpat from Chatas Ha'Of. So if you're going to say, remember we had the machlokas, we started this whole sugya with the machlokas that it says kamishpat, that the Olas Ha'Of is done kamishpat, and we were saying kamishpat what? It's either kamishpat chatas Ha'Of or it's kamishpat chatas Behema. So we've been now discussing what halachos we learned from Chatas Behema, assuming that Kamishpat means the Ola Tzof is like the Chatas Behema. Rabbi Yishmael learns Kamishpat means that it's Kamishpat Chatas Oof. So according to Rabbi Yishmael, I know it's good. How do I know that I do the Malika in the back of the neck? Because the Ola Tzof is done the same procedure as the Chatas Oof. Just like the Chatas Oof, the Malika is done Mimul Orpo, because it says that explicitly in Pasuk. It says Mimul Orpo Velo Yavdil. So too, I know that the Malika of the Ola Tzof has to be done Mimul Orpo. However, according to Rabbi Elazar of Rabbi Shimon, who says that the Mishpat is, and Rabbi Elazar of Rabbi Shimon darshins, Mishpat, Kamishpat by Ola Tzof is also like by Chata Tzof. However, it's only regarding the drasha that the Ola Tzof cannot be totally separated from the Chata Tzof. That the head has to be totally separated, unlike the Chata Tzof, where the head has to be attached. But the Tanakhama's darshan's kamishpat from Chatas Behema. Now, if you're going to darshan the mishpat of from Chatas Behema, so in other words, so long as you're darshaning Ola Tzof from Chatas Tzof, I understand how I know that the malika has to be done in the back of the neck. Because we're saying either that it's exactly like Chatas Tzof, or we're saying that it's like Chatas Tzof, except it's different, because Chatas Tzof, I don't separate it. Ola Tzof, I do separate it. But regardless, the procedure is the same. But if I'm learning Ola Tzof Kamishpat, that it's got to be done like Chatas Behema, how do I even know that I'm doing the Malika in the back of the neck? So says the Gemara, because I'm not learning from the word Kamishpat, that's why. Gemara, Malika, Malika, because I have a drasha of Malika from Malika. And Rashi says it's Bememetzinu, Ma Malika Amura Bechatas Parishlan Ba Kosov Mol Oref Afko Malika in Elami Mol Oref. So says the Gemara, how do I know that the Malika is done in the back of the net? Even if I use the word Kamishpat to teach me that Ola Tzof is more like Chatas Behema and not like Chatas Ha'ov, the answer is it's simple, because by the procedure of Ola Tzof, the Pasuk does use the word Malika. And whenever the Pasuk uses the word Malika, I learned by Mematzinu that the Malika is done at the back of the neck. Okay, enough of Malika, past couple of days. Now we move on to a new sugya. And again, this Mishnah is going to follow the pattern of the previous Mishnah. It's going to teach us that there are two categories of something, and what's kosher for one category is puzzle for the other category. What's kosher for category B is going to be puzzle for category A. So it's going to follow that. It's going to follow that pattern, and this is going to serve as a springboard to several other mishnayos, which are going to follow this model, having nothing to do with hilcha shechita or chulin or anything. So we have a little bit of a break. So says the Mishnah like this. So again, just to summarize, there are two types of birds that can potentially be brought as karbanos. There's either a tar, tarin, or bnei yona. Tar is a turtle dove, that's already a mature bird. A ben yona is a little pigeon, that's a little bird. We'll see in the Gemara, that's why the Pasuk calls it ben yona. So the Mishnah says as follows. Kasher b'tarin, what's kasher to be used as a tar, Pasul b'ben yona is pasul to be used as a ben yona. Why? Because the tar's got to be big, the ben yona's got to be small. The flip side, kosher b'bnei yona, whatever is kosher to be used as a ben yona, pasul b'tarin is pasul to be used as a tar, again, because the ben yona has got to be small and the tar has got to be big. So tchilas tziyuv, when the feathers around the neck of the bird begin to yellow, b'zeh b'zeh pasul, then it's pasul to be used either as a tar or as a ben yona. And Rashi explains tchilas atziyav shebezev shebezev pasul. Tchilas atziyav keshematchilin lahavi notza yafet zehuva saviv letzavar, when the feathers around the neck of the bird start to yellow, psulim bezeh bezeh, it's pasul to be used either both for a tar and for a ben yona. Why? Because it's starting the maturation process. It has left the status of katnus, but it has not yet reached the status of godless. And kach mefarsh begemara de b'bnei yona psulim b'nei godlan. It's puzzle to be used as a ben yona because it's too big. Uvitorim b'bnei kotnan, but it's too small to be used as a tar. Diyotze mechlal katanim v'lil chlal gedolim lobo. Because when it's starting this stage of of development, it has already left the status of katnos, it has not yet gotten to the status of godless, and therefore, it's not going to be fit to be used as either one. Okay, so says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Torim Gedolim Ksheirim, Ktanim Psulim. The halacha is by a tar, it's got to be a big bird, a small bird is going to be pasul. B'nei Yona, however, by the pigeons, Ktanim Ksheirim, it's got to be small, Gedolim Psulim. So exact opposite, and the Gedolim are pasul. Nimsa, so comes out, Kosher b'torin, pasul b'vnei Yona. Whatever is kosher to be used as a tar is pasul to be used as a ben Yona. Kosher b'vnei Yona, pasul b'torin. Whatever is kosher to be used as a ben Yona is going to be pasul to be used as a tar. And Tosfos over here points out. So Tosfos over here points out. Dibra maskel nimtza. So nimtza kosher b'torin. Abraisa dahacha lo shayach lemedak hai nimtza lemiute mai kedadayik lael amas nisin. The nimtza kosher b'shchita apostle b'malika. You'll recall when we had the corresponding sugya. When we were saying that which is kosher for shechita is pasul for malika, that which is kosher for malika is pasul for shechita, the brisa was bothered. What does this general rule come to teach us? Lemiyutei mai, what does it come to exclude? And we had a whole bunch of shitas, what it comes to exclude. Tosfa says that over here, this question is not shayich. Why? Da'ach brisa amas nisen kaima lefrushe, the torim gedolim ksherim, vader mesayim nimtzu, kamo sha'amru mishnasenu. Because this brisa is simply repeating what the Mishnah says. In other words, it's basically summing up what the Mishnah says. Avala el, lo tzorich lemisnei klal nimtza, dekvarish mina resha, deshchita mina savor, malika mina oref, v'im shina bazeh pasul. But by the halacha of shchita versus malika, we had already learned the baseline halacha in that Mishnah was that shchita is from the front of the animal, malika is from the back of the animal. So now the Gemara is bothered. Why does the Mishnah then have to elaborate and continue? What's kosher for this is possible for that. What's kosher for that is possible for this. Over here, there was no springboard halacha. There was no general halacha that the Mishnah started with. So then I should ask, oh, why do you need to tell me that which is kosher for this is possible for that? The whole Mishnah just said that which is kosher for this is possible for that. And so therefore, there's no reason to ask this question, this sort of question in the Gemara, explains Tosfos. Okay, so now let's pick up again. It's two lines up from the bottom. Chav Beis Amud Aleph. Satana Rabbanam. So we learn as follows, Torim Gedolim Velo Ketanim. The Torim have to be big and they're ineligible if they're small. Sheyachal Valadinu, I might have thought to make a Kal V'chomer. Uma b'nei Yona, madach b'nei Yona shlo uchshru b'gdolim. They are not kosher if they're big. Why? And Rashi points out, da b'nei ketanim mashma, because b'nei Yona is mashma that they're small. V'ikuva d'gdolim sulun l'kaman yalef. And we're going to learn in a couple of lines how we know that this is ma'akev, that they must be small and they cannot be big. But I might draw a Kal V'chomer like this. Ma b'nei Yona shlo uchshru b'gdolim. Madach b'nei Yona, that if they're big, they're pasul. Uchshru b'ktanim. They're fit for use if they're small. Torim by a tar shuchru b'gdolim, that they're okay to be used if they're big. Ein adin shuchru b'ktanim. Certainly, there's a kal v'chomer that they should be kosher if they're small. Tamalomar torim gedolim velo ketanim. Therefore, it has to teach me that the torim are only kosher if they're big. They are not kosher if they are small. Says the Gemara, b'nei Yona. Ketanim velo gedolim. That b'nei Yona are kosher only if they're small, but not if they're big. Sheyachlo valodinu. I might think again to draw a kal v'chomer. Uma torim shaloch shru b'ktanim. Madach torim that are not kosher if they're small. Huch shru b'gdolim. They're kosher if they're big. B'nei Yona shuch shru b'ktanim. B'nei Yona that they're kosher if they're small. Ein adin shuch shru b'gdolim. Isn't it a kal v'chomer that when they grow up they should also be kosher? Tamalomar b'nei Yona ketanim velo gedolim. So Tamalomar, it says b'nei Yona, and that teaches me that the b'nei Yona are only kosher if they're small, but not if they're big. So my Talmuda. So how do we know this? And Rashi says my Talmuda. The question that the Gemara is asking is klomar me'eza mikra anu lomdim nehi nami de b'nei mashma ketanim miu ikuva menola and lomar binan gedolim mikal v'chomer. We have what appears to be a logical kal v'chomer that should teach me that the b'nei Yona should be kosher even when they're big, because the tar is pusel when it's small, but it's kosher when it's big. So the ben yona, which is already kosher when it's small, certainly should be kosher when it's big. Tamalomar ben yona. Ben yona means small. How do I know that ben yona means small? I understand that ben connotes a kid, but how do I know that it's ma'akev? Says the Gemara, amarava lo lishtamit kra, because velichtov min b'nei atorim o min hayona, because the pasuk never deviates from the way that it describes these birds. It never says B'nai Tar, and it never says Yona without the word Ben appended as a prefix. And says Rashi, Lo Lishtamit Kra, then let's read it inside, because this is the Machlokas Rashi Tosfos here, what this means. But Lo Lishtamit Kra, Se'ich Salkadaitach G'dolim Nami K'sherim, if it were the case that the big birds are also kosher to be used as a ben yona, then mikol hanach kroy de mishtoa bekinim, in every pasuk where the pasuk is talking about kinim, could go and hide the nedava ubeshmias kol ubeyoledes ubezav ubemitzora. So many examples in the Torah where kinim are brought. Lo lishtamit chad kroy de nichtav min bnei torin o min ayona. It's not shayach that in all of the examples of kinim that the Torah deals with explicitly, that it should be so steadfast and say only ben yona and not tar. So from the fact that every single time the kinim are mentioned in the Torah never deviates, and it always only says ben yona, it never says b'nei torin, it's obviously mashma that ben yona is ma'akev, that it's valid only if it's small. Tosfos says, Dibrei Maschil lo lishtamit kra, al korche lav mishum di'ika harbe mikros kadarish. Tosfos says, it's got nothing to do with the fact that we're darshaning a lot of psukim. Dafilu lo ya kosav echad, kosav ela b'chad duchta, because even if this pasuk only appeared once in all of Chumash, Torim ubnei yona, and in that example and in that instance when that one time the pasuk was brought, if it would have said Torin and Bnei Yona, Havimatzi lemidrash, it would have been possible to make this drasha. Midichsiv b'hai Bnei Yona, b'hai loksiv Bnei Dilma Yeshli Lifsok Liyaser Lishono Vlichtov Bnei Bechinam. In other words, says Tosfos, Lo Lishtame Kramine has nothing to do with the fact that this concept is repeated so many times and the Torah is always consistent. Even if it were only written once, the fact that the pasuk says B'nei Yona, the Torah doesn't waste words. So why did the Torah say B'nei Yona and just plain Torim? Isn't it obvious that the reason is because B'nei is Ma'akev, because the halacha by B'nei Yona is that they dafka have to be small. So now Tosfa says, Vadanaka dlo lishtamet lo rabusa b'yalma nakte. In that case, Tosfa says, why does the Gemara say lo lishtamet kro, that the pasuk never deviates, the pasuk never breaks from this mold? Tosfa just told me that the reason that we know to make this drasha is because even if it were written only once in the Chumash, the Torah doesn't waste words. From the fact that it says B'nai, it's mashma already that it's ma'akev, that it's got to be small. So why then does the Gemara bother with lo lishtamet kro minei and all the examples that the pasuk talks about kinim, it never deviates from this model? So it says, you're right, it's just to reinforce the argument. In other words, first of all, so according to Rashi, the raya is that there are so many times the pasuk mentions this and it's always very consistent. According to Tosfos, even if it only mentioned it once, from the fact that the Torah chooses its words very carefully and it says the word b'nei by the pigeons, we would know that it's ma'akev, that they have to be small. But the chiddush is, and to reinforce the argument, reinforcement to this argument is, that the pasuk even talks about these kinim many, many times, multiple times throughout the Torah, and every single time it's very consistent, and it says b'nei yona and torim. Okay. Says the Gemara now, weiter. So, Ema, so let's say that, so, Ema, B'nei Yona, Dechsivbu Rachmana, B'nei Ketanim in Gedolim Lo. So I might think like this, that by B'nei Yonah, you're right. It's Ma'akev that it's only small birds, because B'nei means small. So B'nei Yonah, Dechsebu Rachmana, B'nei Ketanim in Gedolim Lo. But maybe Torim, Iboy Gedolim Laisi, Iboy Ketanim Laisi. By Torim, how do I know that only big birds are kosher and small birds are pasul? Maybe both of them are kosher. So says the Gemara, Dumya de B'nei Yonah. No, because the Torim are compared to the B'nei Yonah. Ma B'nei Yonah, Ketanim in Gedolim Lo, Av Torim, Gedolim in Ketanim Lo. Just like Bnei Yonah are only kosher when they're in a certain stage of development, so too the Torim are only kosher when they're at a certain stage of development. Now, they're mirror images of each other, however. They're the opposites. Just like the Ben Yonah is kosher only when it's small, not when it's big, the Torah is only kosher when it's big, not when it's small. Tana Rabbana, says the Gemara, now Vayter. Yachol yu kol haTorim v'chol Bnei Yonah ksherim. I might think that all Torim and all Bnei Yonah are kosher. Tama lomar, min haTorim v'lo kol haTorim. It says, min haTorim and not kol haTorim. Min b'nei Yonah velo kol b'nei Yonah. And it says min b'nei Yonah and not all b'nei Yonah. So what does this come to exclude? Prat l'tchilas hatziyav shebezeh pasol comes to exclude tchilas hatziyav, and this is what the end of the Mishnah taught us. This is coming to exclude when it starts to when the feathers start to yellow. Then it is aged out of the status of katnus, but it has not yet reached the status of godless. That's pretty much what we saw in the Mishnah. Now the Gemara continues. Me'emasaya torim ksherim. When are the torim kosher? Mishe yashivu. When the feathers around the neck get very nice and goldish reddish, that's a sign of maturity in the bird. So we know that when it reaches that stage, it's considered to be an adult bird. Me'emasai b'nei Yonah psulim. When are the b'nei Yonah pasul? Meshe yatzivu. From the time that they start to yellow. Because as we've seen, once they start to yellow, then they've already left the status of katnus. So Tani Yaakov Karcha. So Yaakov Karcha learns as follows: Me'emasai b'nei Yonah ksherim. When are b'nei Yonah kosher? Now Me'emasai is mashmalay, as Rashi says. So Me'emasai, from when are the b'nei Yonah kosher? What does it mean from when are the b'nei Yonah kosher? We know that the b'nei Yonah have to be very small birds. So isn't the natural question that the Gemara should ask is ad emasai? Isn't the natural question until when? Because they're kosher when they're small, but they're pasul when they're big. The Kesef Mishnah, in fact, brings down the girs of the Rambam, who is Gores over here at Ad Emasai. But Rashi says, no, the real question is Me Emasai. Now, from when are they kosher? And Rashi points out, Me Emasai b'nei Yonah ksherim, debiyom shenoldu me'usameim u'me Emasai ksherim. Because when a newborn chick is hatched, it's very disgusting. It's like wet with all the stuff from inside the egg, and it's just not a pretty animal, and therefore we know that it's going to be pasul on the day that it's born. So the question is, from when in its youth is it kosher? And we know that it's going to be kosher only until the feathers start to yellow. But the question is, from when is it kosher? Says the Gemara, Mishe Yalalu. From the time of Yalalu. So what's Yalalu? So some are gores that it's like an onomatopoeia, that it's from the time that they make that cooing sound. But the Gemara answers, the Gemara gives another explanation, Hu Tani La Vu Amar La. So he explains, Efrochav Yaludam, it's from the time that the chicks swallow blood. What in the world does that mean? When did the chicks swallow blood? Amas. Samrabaya michte michi shamit gadfa mine vasi dama. From when you pull a feather out of the chick and it bleeds, then it's mature enough to be brought as a ben Yonah. And again, it could then be brought as a ben Yonah all the way up until the time when the feathers start to yellow. Once the feathers start to yellow, it has already left the status of katnus. Then it can no longer be brought. All right. So boy, Reb Zera. So Reb Zera now asks a kasha. Ha'omer ha're'alai ola min ha'torim. If a person says, I'm going to bring an ola, a bird ola, from Torim, omen b'nei Yonah. I'm either going to bring it from Torim or from b'nei Yonah. Meaning, and Rashi points out, this means me'ezem em she'ertze. It means that I'm going to bring from whichever one I want. Vevi mishneim, however, and now says the Gemara, vehevi tchila satziyav shebazeh v'shebazeh. Mahu. So the guy says he's going to bring an ola either from Tarim or from Bnei Yonah. So this genius went and brought a bird that's probably neither a Tar or a Ben Yonah. Because what did we say? We have been saying, or we saw in the Mishnah, we just saw in the Gemara, that when Tchila Satziyav, when they reach the status of the feathers are beginning to yellow, then it leaves the status of Katnus, and it hasn't yet reached the status of Godless. So the guy said that I'm going to bring an Ola either from Torin or from Bnei Yonah. So he brings both, but both that he brought, they're starting to have Tchila Satziyav. So what status do these birds have? So Mahu, Sveika Ave Venafik. Do we say that Tchilas Atziyav is a Suffolk and therefore he certainly Yotze is Neder because the guy said he's going to bring in Ola either from Torim or from Bnei Yonah. He brought from both, but both of them were beginning to have the Tchilas Atziyav, but it doesn't make a difference because it's either or. Either it's a Tar or it's a Ben Yonah, whichever one it is, he's Yotze is Neder. O Dilma, or says the Gemara perhaps, Bria Havi Velo Nafik, or maybe they're not Ketanim, they're not Gedolim, and you're not Yotze, you're Neder, because they're neither. You said you were going to bring an Ola from either big birds or small birds. You then went ahead and brought two birds that are neither big birds or small birds. So what's the halacha? Tosfos is bothered. What's the tzad to say in the Gemara that if it's a Suffolk, then you could just bring both birds? Tosfos says, it's Tosfos Dibra Maskel Vahavi, Vavi Tchila Sasiyev Shebezeh Bezebezeh, Maus Fek Avi Benofik, Vim Tomer, Kiva Dimamonav Shach Echad Pasol. One of them is definitely Pasol. You said you were going to bring the Ola from either a Tar or from a Ben Yonah, and then you brought these two birds which were Tchila Satziyav. So Kiva Dimamonav Shach Echad Pasol, Heyech Yachala Hakriv. How could you be makriv both birds? V'yesh lomar to be boilei kagon to im of our coin v'hikriv. Because the halach is that you're not supposed to bring a puzzle bird on the mizbeach. So how can you tell me that you're supposed to bring both birds? So Tosfos says, you're right, you're not supposed to bring both birds, but we're talking where the Kohen was over and he brought both birds anyway. Or Tosfos says, maybe what the guy said, the guy was noder, he was going to bring a Ola either from a Tar or from a Ben Yonah, whichever one he wanted, and maybe he fulfilled his obligation from the minute he brought it to the Kohen. Then he was Yotze's Neder. So maybe we're not really focused on which one is actually brought on the Mizbeach, but we're focused on the guy said he's going to bring to the Kohen for bringing on the Mizbeach either a Tar or a Ben Yonah, and we're saying because he gave both of them and they were both Tchilas Atziyav, he's Yotze is Neder. Tosfos says also some interpret that maybe we're talking about a Bama, and there's no such thing as a bird that's puzzled to be brought on the Bama. So if you're going to ask, how can I bring on the Mizbeach the bird that I don't fulfill my Neder with? The answer is because maybe he's bringing in an Obama, and an Obama there's no problem. Tosfos then doesn't like that answer because the only type of Obama that doesn't have a psul oaf is a Obama of a Ben Noach. And who says that we're talking about a Obama of a Ben Noach? All right, but back to the Gemara, the suffix in the Gemara is you said you were going to bring an Ola of Torim or Bnei Yonah, and you brought these animals that were in the transition, you brought these birds that were in the transition phase, and we ask, is it a Suffolk when it's Tchila Satziyav, and therefore you're Yotza the Neder, because either they were Tar or a Ben Yonah, and in either case you're fine. Odilma Briyavi Velo Nafek, or do we say it's a separate stage of development, and therefore you're not Yotze? So I'm a Rava, so says Rava, Tashma, so let's learn a Raya. So from the fact that we need the Pasuk of Min Hatorim to exclude the Tchila Satziyav, so Prat L'Tchila Satziyav, Shebezeh V'Shebezeh, Shepasol, that from the fact that the Pasuk says Min Hatorim to exclude Tchila Satziyav, we know that it's a Bria. Why? Because Iyam Rebishlam a Bria, if you want to say that it's a Bria, that it's a separate stage of development, it's neither a youth nor is it an adult Shapir. Then I understand why we need a Pasuk to exclude Tchila Satziyav. Eli Iyam Retzvei Kahave. But if you want to say that it's a Safek, in other words, it's either big or small, the problem is I just don't know which one it is, then Havi, so Itzrach Kra Lamute Sfeika, would the Pasuk have to exclude a Sfeika? In other words, if it's simply a Safek that the person doesn't know whether it's a mature bird or whether it's a baby bird, would I need the Pasuk of Minatorin to exclude Chilas Atziyav? And Rashi says, Mi Ika Sfeika Kame Kutcha Brichu, is there a Safek before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So in other words, says Rashi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows whether this bird, which is experiencing Tchilas Atziyav, is big or small. And therefore, if it's big, good, so it's big. If it's small, then it's small. From the fact that the Pasuk is giving me a miyot to exclude Tchilas Atziyav, it shows that it's neither. Because not even HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how to reconcile all Sfeikas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly what this is. The problem is that I have to bring either a big bird or a small bird, and this bird is neither. That's why. So the Gemara tries to use this as a way of answering the question, is Tchilas Atziyav a Safek, or is it a new Bria? And so far, we have one Raya today that it's a new Bria from the fact that we require a miyot in the Pasuk. We'll stop here for today. Tomorrow we'll pick up this discussion in tomorrow's daf.